One of the most important things that you can do as a Christian is Psalm 51:10. I'm always praying this over me when I have a conflict with another person, or when I go out in the world and brush against the world. It's a Psalm of David. One day David went out on the rooftop and saw a beautiful woman. He took her into his house, had sex with her. She became pregnant. She had a husband named Uriah. Her name was Bathsheba. Uriah was a soldier in the army of God. David sent to the army and had Uriah given leave to come home. But when he got home, he didn't go to his own house. He stayed where David was. David wanted him to go home so people could think that the baby was from him. Finally, David had Uriah sent to the front lines of the army where he would be killed. He even had the captain of the army to draw back from the battle and let Uriah face the enemy alone and be killed. He basically committed murder. So David committed adultery and murder. What did God do? Well, he put a penalty upon David, and he caused Nathan the prophet to carry the penalty to him. But in the agony of what he had done, in the sin, David prayed to God. Here is the prayer he prayed to God. Psalm 51, verse 1. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. I can't speak this message to you unless my spirit is right. If I've got some kind of hidden transgression that hasn't been cleaned up, I shouldn't be speaking by that spirit. It'll be the wrong spirit. So I'm very careful to pray verse 10 over myself. If I think I've done wrong, or even when I've gone out among other people, create in me, O God, a clean heart, and renew a right spirit within me. It's not that I'm going to create a clean heart and renew a right spirit. You ask God to do it because you can be sure God will do it. I can't be sure that I will get everything, but God will, when I ask Him, when I really want it, when I seek it with all my heart. Psalm 51, verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Then David went on to say, "Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." Psalm 51. That's one of the most important things God has ever taught me. Everything's important. It's like a jigsaw puzzle. All of these concepts of God fit together to make a whole person. And this one, though, is really important. There are times that you will lash out with another person. It's so important to pray this. It's so important to be cleansed by God. Let's look at Ezekiel 36, because this tells a prophecy of God, of what he would do with the New Testament church. Ezekiel 36. Start at verse 24. God says, "For I will take you from among the heathen, and gather you out of all your countries, and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. And a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you." Verse 27, "And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them." I read this as a new Christian, and it hit me. That's what the church needs. They need to have the Spirit of God. For if you are given the Spirit of God by God, and if you are given a new heart by God, and a new spirit, then you can walk in His judgments. If you try to figure it out yourself, you're going to be hopelessly burdened. But if God does it, He just transforms you. And I knew this is what the church needed, is to have a heart of God and a spirit of God to do the will of God. Sure enough, much later he showed me that that's exactly what every believer must have. You can't do this by figuring it out yourself. Paul even tells us in 1 Corinthians 2:14, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." I know a man who said before he was born again, the Bible made no sense at all to him. But after he was born again, he understood. Why? Because it's got to come from God. Spiritual understanding has to come from God. We are given the Holy Spirit at the time we're born again. August 5th, 1975, I was reading a book about sin, and I heard from God. He said to my mind, "Joan, you know these mistakes you've been making all these years? Those weren't mistakes, those were sins." And I said, "Oh, sins, I thought they were mistakes." I was baptized when I was 15. I went forward at church. Absolutely nothing happened to my life. I just didn't want to go to hell. And in my childish way, I probably heard the preacher say you have to be baptized, so I went forward to be baptized. But it wasn't the Holy Spirit calling me forward. So nothing happened. I just kept pursuing my own interest and my own ambition. Until I was 37 years old, and God said this to me in the night. Joan, you know all those mistakes you've been making all these years? Yes. Those weren't mistakes. Those were sins. See, most people who aren't born again think they are just making a mistake. They don't realize what they've done is a sin. Actually, many of them say I did nothing wrong when it's obviously a sin, at least to us who are born again. But they really don't know until God opens their eyes. And it is God who chooses to open their eyes. So when he opens our eyes, we're born again. When I read Deuteronomy 18, verse 9 to my mother, the Holy Spirit called that scripture to my attention. It's on the subject of horoscopes, astrology, that type of thing. I read it to her after I read it from the Bible. She was quiet for a few seconds, and then she said to me, "Well, I guess we better not do that anymore." She was born again. She repented. She turned. Born again is being changed by God, and then God teaches you by His Spirit. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16. The Apostle Paul says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" Pam Paget had a very strong experience. She was raised Catholic, taken to a Catholic school, and one day a young man in her class in high school was killed on a motorcycle. And her eyes were open to see, if you died today, you would go to hell. And she said she knew she would go to hell if God didn't help her. So she turned to God and said, "Please, if you can do anything for me, please help me." No church can save us. I don't care what kind it is. But God can, by speaking to us. By His Spirit, He makes the changes in us. After that, she said she knew something of God was in her, but she didn't know what it was. Later, she was reading this scripture and said, "That's it. It's the Spirit of God that's in me. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" One time I was at a luncheon at Texas Tech University when I lived in Lubbock, Texas. It was on the fifth story of a building downtown. You can look out the window and see First Methodist Church building. A woman at our table said, "That's my church." And I said, "We are the church." She became instantly furious with me. She said, "We're not the church, that's the church." I said, "We are the church." She was so mad at me. It's not that building made with human hands that's a church. We are the church. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? God is in us to teach us, to guide us, to show us things to do, to even show us things in the future, things to come, by His will. It is not that we it are like fortune tellers seeking the future. It's just by his will, he sometimes shows us the future. The Spirit of God is in us. One time I had a dream where I was in a tall glass building. Something happened outside. It was like bombs falling on the building. The building began to shake like it was going to fall in on top of us. Tall glass building. I thought it was a bank. Foolishly, I did not go to God for interpretation, saying, "What is this dream?" I just did my own interpretation. It was the World Trade Center. I even heard in the dream, it's not the first bombing, but the second. Then I had a dream where something happened in New York City and sirens were going down the street just one after another. And then I had a dream where my mother and I were over in New Jersey and I looked out the window and saw huge smoke from the end of Manhattan Island. I had three dreams about the World Trade Center, and I heard in that dream, nothing will be the same again. God shows us things, not by our will, but by his will. But he showed me this destruction of the World Trade Center. Thank you for allowing me to share with you today.